Yo.
What's up, brother?
Yo, what's good, man?
How's it going?
You know what? I can't complain. I'm alive. I'm
That's
breathing. I'm healthy. Man, and there's n not much more I could ask for right now.
a really nice way of looking at it. Look good, some good perspective there.
Hell yeah.
We're all
And to everyone
alive, right?
else. Yeah, and to everyone else out there who's not having the best day, you know what I'm saying? Count your blessings. Because a lot of the times we're blessed with so much. We get used to all this that we have. Once something bad happens, whatever it is, we let that ruin our day and we let that control how we move throughout the rest of the day.
I'm so guilty of that sometimes.
And you know what? We got to step back and say, you know what? One bad thing happened. But look at all this other shit. Like if I'm UCJ, look at my kid. Look at my wife.
Exactly.
We have a home. Look at my fucking grill outside. You know what
Blackstone,
I mean?
baby.
Yeah, man. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm alive, I'm healthy, I'm well, and I got people around me who, you know what I'm saying, help me keep me in a better mood, just not even by like being my quote unquote therapist, so to say, but just being a friend, you know what I mean? Like I
Absolutely.
got you, I got, you know what I'm saying? So,
Absolutely.
man, I'm alive and I'm blessed. So,
Hey, that's all that matters, man. We
yeah,
got
man.
breath in our fucking lungs, man. You're right. It is difficult sometimes when you're just in a daily grind and just something easily can just derail the whole thing. But you're absolutely right. I do look at like my family, you know, the kids, the wife, even the dog, you know, just like the things that I worked for, I'm surrounded by. There's a reason I don't go out all the time because I'm literally living in the place that I worked to achieve, you know. So I got everything I need right here. So it is nice to have the perspective to come home to and just kind of go, hey, it's all good. Tomorrow's another
Yeah.
day. Even if today was shit, tomorrow's another day, another try, another at
Hell
bat,
yeah.
you know. So
Hell yeah. And it's shit compared to what? You know what I mean? That's it's relative. Everything is relative, you know what I mean?
right. Absolutely.
So yeah, just put things into perspective.
Nice. That must have been a really good workout for you to be this coherent about everything.
Man, workout's been going good. I've fucking been eating, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, all the senses are tingling.
Oh yeah, you got that
Yeah.
going on. You got a little lady friend to get your other senses tingling too. So
Hey, man, we I
it's all part of the package, right? Like, hey.
You gotta wrap it up all together in one, you feel
That's
me?
right. Those are all blessings, you know? So
Yes,
you
sir.
get all the senses tingled.
A little gawk, you know what I mean?
That's the cure all, sir. That will right turn any bad day. Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh boy. But that's
So what
good.
about
I'm
you,
glad.
man?
Oh, me? Shit, man. I'm telling you, I think this is the first weekend, this past weekend, since the beginning of the year that I had no plans. It was lovely. I didn't do shit. I shouldn't say I didn't do shit. As I mentioned prior in past episodes, I am going to officiate a wedding. Yes, that
Yes,
wedding
sir.
is in less than a month. So I am heavy at work, just working on my sermon, working on my speech, the entire presentation, the performance, the whole thing. I got some laughs in there. I got some tears in there. I ran it by the wife. She loved it. She laughed. She cried. I ran it by the bride. She loves it too. So just like, I'm trying to fine tune that because I want that to be like, you know, just the most memorable experience for them. The best, you know, they got Siege. They're looking for me and the whole package. So like, I want to deliver.
Yeah.
It's my first time out, you know, so I gotta
Yeah.
do it right. So I just
Hell yeah.
put on a pot of coffee on Saturday, put on some tunes, and just zoomed right into it and just tweaking things. That's not my first time, you know, doing that. It's probably my second draft of it and all, but like just tweaking things, saying it out loud, making all like little jokes, make sure they hit, wait for applause here, wink at the girl there, you know, just things
Yeah.
like that. Things like that, little Siege isms that I can throw in there. So I'm very excited
Hell
about
yeah.
that. But other than that, I didn't do anything but relax, and it was so nice. Just recharge the batteries.
Hell yeah. After that vacation, that's always needed, you know?
Right. They always say you might need a vacation from your vacation. So, you know, it's kind of what it feels like. It's just getting that the normal life reset.
Yes.
Starting from square one. So that was very nice. How was your weekend?
Yo, I didn't do shit.
So yeah, I think a lot of the people I know didn't do shit. I think that was just the weekend just to take a break from
No,
everything.
man. I was supposed to go to my guy's birthday party. I said, fuck that. I'm staying home and watching Brandon Royval versus Brandon Moreno.
Yes, that's
That shit
right.
was a banger. Man, and then Sunday I didn't do shit but eat junk food, get chopped, and watch this documentary called The Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
That sounds very familiar, but I did not watch that.
It's about like she's a little person, Natalia. She's a little person,
Okay.
orphan, just like the movie Orphan.
Sure. Which movie, Orphan?
The
Scary one
one
or the non-scary one?
scary one with the
Oh,
little
shit.
girl trying to kill the family.
Yes. Oh,
Yeah.
my God.
So apparently the family that adopted her tried to paint her out to be like that orphan, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen it, if you want to watch it, but long story short,
Well,
they
you could
painted her to
probably
be the
spoil it for me.
crazy they painted her to be the crazy person. They fucking like change her age and all this other crazy shit.
Oh,
Kick her out
shit.
the house, make her live in an apartment on her own. At the time she was probably
What?
like 11 years old. Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
Go to court, foster parents get off squat clean.
Of course.
Yep, and then she gets adopted by a new family. Turns out something happens at the end of the second season. There's a phone call. It's the new adoptive parents now. And her new foster dad was like, "Yo, I'm done with her. She tweaking." That those were his exact words. She tweaking.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there's another call with the mom, the new foster mom. She says that damn near rebutted.
Damn.
And so now you're caught thinking like, "Wait, is the bitch really crazy? Or is all this shit just made up?"
Right, because you never know.
I'm leaning towards all this shit is made up.
In history, we have seen a lot of things like this are just embellished for drama. But I don't know, when it comes to like horror stuff and like supernatural, whatever you want to call it, like I think there's some truth to it. I wouldn't say I'm a true believer in all that shit, but to say there's 0% chance, I think it's short-sighted. Like things like that could happen. There's enough evil in the
Yeah.
world where shit like Orphan or The Omen or anything, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses. I think that all is very plausible. It's not too out of the realm. We're not talking like Independence Day where you have, you know, aliens coming from the sky immediately look like that and try to destroy everything. But with, you know, with scary shit, with spooky shit, I tend to believe a little bit more than I do aliens. So it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And that's conspiracy shit, I'm sure, is a whole other episode we could do, but
Hell yeah, we got to. We got to.
oh, we could do. I know you've been
Talk
wanting to
about
do that since the
aliens and all
beginning.
type of shit.
Because again, like there's no way that it's a 0% absolute no. I think there's plausibility behind all that shit. Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, all that shit. There's plausibility behind wherever this shit comes from, and you never know where it really comes from.
Yeah, you never
But
know.
like I'm somebody who thinks like if it turns out like Loch Ness is true, I don't know if it's like the Loch Ness Monster you would draw on a piece of paper if someone told you to draw what she looks like, you know? I think it would look different. Like Bigfoot probably isn't just what we think he is. He's probably like slightly altered, slightly different, more like a swamp thing kind of thing. I never know.
I
But
know what you're saying. I know what you're
you know
saying.
what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know, the way we
It's
draw
not
aliens is not little green men. I think they're
right.
something, you know?
There,
But who the
you're
hell
saying like
knows?
there's a happy medium between the fantasy and reality. That's what you're saying. I
Exactly.
got you.
All these ideas have to come from somewhere. So
Yeah.
I think realism is one of those places it comes from. But again, we'll save all that because that sounds like a fun way to do an episode of just talking a bunch of shit. Because I got plenty to think about with that kind of stuff. There's
Hell
alien
yeah.
shit all over the place.
And just real quick, I think aliens are real.
Oh, I think they're real too. I just don't know if they're like movie real. I think they're
Oh
like
I know what you mean.
different, you know, like that could be a whole, we have no idea what they could look like. So that's, yeah, that'd be very interesting. So, I mean, I do want to touch on one quick sports thing before we start the show because it's hilarious.
Can I take a guess?
What is it?
You talking about Cam Newton?
No, actually, this is actually
Oh.
nothing to do with football.
Oh, okay.
So, and I'm going to use a visual aid for this shit too. I consider myself fashion forward, if not hip, fashion forward. You know, I like to match colors. I got a good theme going. You know, like to look good, feel good. And I'm a big Adidas guy myself. I don't wear a lot of Nike. I don't know what it is. I think like 8 years ago, I just decided to randomly pledge my undying loyalty to Adidas. Even got the shit on three stripes. But I don't know why. I think their shit is fly. I like their stuff. But if you're an athlete, you would say, I think you take pride in your uniform and the way it makes you feel, the way you perform in it. It's got to have durability and it's got to look good and the colors have to look right. All that shit. So I bring that up because if any sports fan out there has ever bought uniforms, memorabilia from a place called Fanatics. They're familiar with the store. And Fanatics, for those of you who don't know, it's a clothing brand that has a lot of sports licensing rights. So they sell a lot of the stuff you see today, their jerseys, your sweatshirts, all that shit, all, you know, all good stuff. I would argue that Fanatics is a little lackluster in quality, but that's neither here nor there. They're a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just need something, you get what you pay for. Exactly. So I bring it up because some hilarious news came out in the realm of baseball. And MLB and Fanatics have this massive deal they signed last year where I think Fanatics is going to make them like $2 billion in merchandise revenue by 2045. Fine, whatever. And the big thing about MLB is they're a big Nike sport. So Nike subcontracts the uniform stuff to Fanatics. Fanatics then turns and makes the uniforms every year, a different style. It's just like football helmets and things like that. They evolve. So in MLB this year, they were, you know, the players got their new uniforms and they're like the Nike Vapor Premier, you know, jersey pants combo.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Got better maneuverability, breathability, all that stuff for, you know, premier athletes to do what they got to do, which all sounds well and good until people got their first looks of these uniforms during spring training just the past couple weeks or so. I'm going to show you what these look like because it's pretty great, actually. One second, please. Can you see this? That's your boy, Christian Yelich, Milwaukee Brewer. Yeah. We love Christian around here. Jersey looks pretty clean, right?
Yeah.
But if we go right about crotch area, as you can see, these pants are pretty much transparent. Fanatics decided to release these pants to the entire league so that even these guys in the LA Dodgers, that's the bottom of their jersey. You can clearly see with the logo in these white ass, transparent ass pants. The reason I think this is hilarious, and I won't post this because different kind of show. Most people, because you know baseball players wear cups, jock straps, can pretty much just see dick and balls all game long. Every time these guys stretch, and there's a lot of photos out there, I'm not going to do it myself. You can Google them yourself because they're everywhere. But pretty much any person is taking a picture of a baseball player bending over, you're just getting dick and ball all game long. And the more these guys sweat, the clearer these pants get. So I bring it up just because I thought it was hilarious. And I'm thinking about, this is planned. It has to be. I think the commissioner of baseball did this shit on purpose because he knows all these women out here are now going to go see some baseball. We had a big football season with Taylor Swift, and now the ladies get baseball and they get a whole bunch of dick and balls. So all the ladies are going to go to the ballpark and get to see some footlong hot dogs. They want all the peanuts and Cracker Jack, and their husbands will wonder if they ever come back. That's all. I just wanted to bring that up, that that is a thing that's going to be occurring in baseball for this entire season, is a bunch of clear fucking pants. Go wow. Brewers. It's going to be fantastic.
Wow. That whole segment took a turn I did not expect it was going
to
take.
I know. That's what I was like. I got to say it to him because he has no idea. This is news you never asked for, but you're going to hear a lot about this because it's so egregiously transparent. They might as well be wearing just like shower curtains. Like it's just clear plastic.
Yeah.
How do you have a multi-billion dollar company and those are your pants? What are those?
What are those?
What are those? But clear pants, baby. That's a new way. That's the future of sports. You
know what? No, low-key, like, personally, I kind of like them.
I bet you do.
Because, look, this is what you could do, right? Because I got these compression shorts that are, like, all different types of colors. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And I always tell myself, like, damn, when the fuck am I going to show these off? That would be the best time to show them off. If you're a baseball player, got all these dope-looking compression shorts, different designs and colors on them, wear them right under. Boom. Oh, now we talking. Now we talking. You said Nike made, right?
That's Nike, yeah. Well, technically, yes, they subcontracted for them, but
shout out to Swoosh.
So you're thinking like they're just thinking two steps ahead here. Like,
yeah.
This has got some future to it.
I see the vision. I see the vision, man, because Nike, like I know some of these dudes are sponsored by Under Armour, Jordan, yep. Adidas, yep. Whoever. They make some pretty good looking compression shorts. And you know, like the style nowadays is like the higher cut shorts, like the one I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sitting down and you could damn near see 3/4 of my thigh.
You don't have to show us. I believe you. But yes, I know exactly the kind of shorts you're talking about. And you can kind of see the compression a little bit underneath them.
Yes,
So it looks like a
yes.
good style.
I
I
love
get
that
where you're
look.
going. I
I
get where you're
love that
going.
look. Yeah. So I see the
Now,
vision.
if they can claim that that's the vision, then okay, fine. Genius marketing, I guess. That's a hell of a foresight. I'm thinking this is the latter where it's just a like quality control. They said, what material do we have left for these fucking pants? We need like 300 pairs of pants. And they're going, I just want to shit in the back, the fucking cat yard and shit. And they just ran with it,
They said,
hoping
"Oh, you mean
nobody
the
would
shit we
notice.
use for women's volleyball spandex? Use that?
Exactly. Use
Yes,
that.
but make them white. Make them white."
All white. That's all I was thinking. I'm like, this is gonna be a hot ass sport, all sweat. God knows what they're doing on that fucking field, and all these ladies are gonna be just like going insane, and no one's gonna know why. So okay, Fanatics, he'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe you're genius at this. Maybe you're just thinking ahead here. They're in 2045 already. They're
I
like,
mess with
everyone's
it.
gonna they're gonna say we talk shit about them at this point, but it's like, no, they were the geniuses. They made all the money from it.
Yes.
That's all right though. Let's get the show started because we got some meaty topics to discuss, and I think it's a good idea to get going right away. What do you think?
Yes, sir. Drop the
Yeah.
music.
1, 2, 3.
Boom. So, welcome back, folks. We are here again. We missed you. It's been a quick week. Nothing going on the weekend. Sports are kind of just hanging out a little bit. Like I said, baseball started up a little bit. Basketball's in full swing now. So, switching gears, and we're going to get a lot of topics out of basketball coming up soon here, especially today with a very interesting topic that we want to discuss a little bit later in the show. In case you forgot, that guy is Ryan, the Bone Thug. I'm Siege, the Harmony. So it works together. Boom, 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 boom. I love that fucking Bone Thug,
If you
man.
know, you know.
If you know, you know. That's right. But yes, we're back again. Another episode, fresh out the kitchen. So,
Ooh.
ooh, yes. Let us stick to the NBA right now because the NBA, like I said, is big time. Stars are emerging left and right. Every year we're seeing just crazy levels of competition starting to increase. You're, in my opinion, and I know it's I'm an old head, I've admitted that for a long time, but you talk about golden ages of basketball, you talk about renaissance, you talk about waves and cycles. I feel like basketball is starting to hit that next wave where like another generation of new fans are going to start rising up because the level of talent now is so entertaining. So even like his lowly Detroit Pistons, so much talent packed to the gills. And that's saying something is like the Pistons, who we were just talking about weeks ago with the almost the longest losing streak of all time, just missed it. Just missed it. But that record with the amount of talent on that team says a lot about the NBA overall.
Young talent.
Young talent, yes. Growing into the roles, role players, stars of the making, future superstars too. And even on top, champions. Nikola Jokic, somebody who for a lot of people came out of nowhere, European basketball style. Hey, look at that. He's the best player in the league. So you're seeing different avenues of success coming that you didn't see in the last, I mean, maybe in the LeBron days for sure, but I have been seeing some real creativity coming from it. And I want to talk about the future of the NBA. Lots of talk lately, and we talk about it on the show too. People like LeBron James, who arguably has been the face of the NBA, quote unquote, for the better part of 2 decades now. We know
Oh, it's
Kobe is
not
a big,
arguable.
it's not arguable for him. I have to give myself a little leeway because somebody out there is going to be like, but I get it. But he's right. It's hard to argue that LeBron has been the face of the fucking league. Kobe's been the face of the league, rest in peace. Michael Jordan's been the face of the league. There's always that iconic number one. This is the guy you think about when you think about basketball. I would argue, even Steph for a little bit, you could argue that. There's
No, yeah,
some
Steph
argument.
and KD. I'll give
And
KD that
KD.
too. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when you think about the future and you think about how long people like LeBron and KD and Curry have been playing, you kind of want to start thinking about what's next. And I've been seeing this same question on a lot of sports sites, a lot of chat rooms. I hate calling them chat rooms because it sounds like I'm from the 90s and shit. But, you know, there's a lot of places and a lot of spaces where people are discussing who the next face of the NBA would be in the next 10 to 15 years. Or I can't say 20 because LeBron doing 20 is like a unicorn thing. I don't know if these next cats are going to do a 20-year career. That seems like we're kind of getting away from that now.
Right.
Even like people like Giannis, like as successful as he's been, as talented as he is, I don't know if Giannis has a 20-year career in him. We'll see. He's probably the last of the old guard when it comes to that mentality of being there for as long as possible. But this new generation, shit. And you can combine this with the NFL too in the same kind of argument. You're seeing the young players get wildly successful real quick, and then they could peace out pretty quickly as fast as you got to know them. So I want to know your thoughts, and you don't have to pick just one. If you want to stick by one, go ahead. I had like one or two just and you'll see where I came with it too. But like, if you think about who you would peg, if it was your NBA and you were in charge of the marketing and the potential, the star power, then the everything you do to put the machine behind this one or two players, who do you think is the next face of the NBA if we look back in 20 years?
Yeah, great question. I just wanted to say before I give my answer that I left out a couple of guys that people may be wondering why I left out. I left out Giannis. I left out Jokic. Can't think of any other guys right now, but those two guys specifically, because they're about to be 30 in the next couple seasons or next season. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And LeBron is probably going to play another couple years. I would assume both of those guys would take a slight dip in their overall production and their overall stats.
Yes.
So I left those guys out and I focused primarily on the young cats.
I would agree with that. Yes, that's a good idea.
So the first guy that I think of, and just disclaimer, I picked four guys because I don't think there's going to be a single face in the NBA because of a couple of reasons. One, there's way too much talent now.
Way
too much.
More than
there's ever been. More than there's ever been.
Yep.
Most of these teams have, I'd say half of the teams in the NBA have two guys that are legitimate all-stars.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like any season, they could be an all-star.
Absolutely.
And number two, it has to happen organically. What do I mean by that? We can't anoint someone as the face, as the guy.
Got it.
They have to win. They have to put up the stats. And they have to have some type of influence on the culture.
Good. Glad you brought that up.
So I'll start with my first guy, and it's Jason Tatum.
Woo! Great pick. Great pick.
Why Jason Tatum? Ever since he's entered the league, he's never missed the playoffs. Currently, the best team in the East.
Yes.
Perennial all-star. Deep playoff runs every single season in the NBA to go along with making the playoffs every single season in the NBA. And the fifth reason, there's a shot that kids love and that's slowly becoming the most important and popular shot in the NBA. And Jason Tatum makes this at the high or one of the highest clips in the NBA. The step back three.
Oh, beautiful. Chef's kiss.
And you'll notice with the other three guys that I have on my list, they hit step back threes because that is honestly changing the culture of basketball. Kids don't want to hit layups no more. Kids want to shoot step back threes, right? Like Steph Curry.
That's right. I know one on your list just because you said that. I know one, but I'm not going to say it yet. No, no, keep going. Keep going.
No, it might be the next guy. It might be the next guy I'm about to say. Hold on, as I go blurry.
Yep.
That's how people look when they guard Jason Tatum.
Well played. Well played.
Second guy, and this is in no typical order. All right.
Got it. Yep.
I got Luka.
That's who I thought you were going to pick.
Yep. Again.
Step back three, baby.
Step back three. He probably hits it at the highest clip, if I'm guessing.
He's butter with that shit.
Yes. Again, international player. Basketball is slowly turning into a global sport, specifically the NBA. If you look at the MVP candidates right now, they're all born, or most of them are born outside of the NBA.
That's right.
I said NBA, the USA.
Yeah, the USA, yeah. I got what you meant.
Yeah. Again, perennial all-star, stat-stuffing monster.
Crazy.
Triple-double
stats.
Machine. He can drop 70 any given night.
Yep.
And then the next night, he can have a 30-point triple-double.
Absolutely.
And not bat an eye. And I think with Luka, one thing that shouldn't be thrown under the rug is the fact that he's relatable to a lot of guys. And this is what I mean by that. This is what I mean by that. Luka plays with zero athleticism, with
You're
zero
not wrong.
speed.
Yes.
Like, this dude, I could probably jump higher than him.
Oh yeah.
I could probably run faster than him too.
Easily. He
But
doesn't
he's one of the
care.
best players in the league because he relies solely on skill.
Yes.
And a lot of us that hoop can't dunk a basketball. A
I
lot of us in the
can't
YMCA that's hooping cannot dunk a basketball. We are not jumping out the gym. We are average athletes. That's why we are not professional athletes.
Can you dunk?
No, I can't.
Hey, you admit that though. All right.
I can't dunk. Yeah. I'll slap the
I
shit out of the backboard though. While I lay the ball up, I'll slap the shit out of the
I can't.
backboard. And I
That's
say
good.
that to say a lot of us have to play in a similar style as Luka, relying solely on skill.
Yes, sir.
We're not the biggest, we're not the fastest, we're not the strongest, we're not the most athletic. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Luka really resembles that. And I think he's having a big impact on the culture in that way that we probably don't even realize. Moving on, the second guy, and honestly, I think this guy can be the best player in the NBA.
Was your third guy, right?
Yep, my third guy.
Third guy. Gotcha.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I knew he was on your list.
This I've been high on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ever since he was at Kentucky. I hate to put this on anybody, but he gives me a lot of Kobe Bryant energy.
Oh, that's tough.
Like,
That's fucking tough.
and let me explain. He's not the athlete Kobe was,
No.
but his mid-range game is pristine. He has the best mid-range game when it comes to guards in the NBA. Yes, he has a better mid-range game than Devin Booker. I'm saying that today, right now.
I think that's actually a good point.
He spin jumpers, step back jumpers, 1-2 hop dribble, bump you in the body, free throw line jumper. Like, he has it all in the mid-range. And to
Damn.
go along with that, the biggest counter to that is his step back three. He doesn't shoot a
Step
lot
back
of threes,
threes.
but when he does, a lot of the time, they're step back threes and catch and shoot threes. Two of the most popular ways to shoot threes, catch and shoot, step back.
There you go.
And he's going to be a perennial all-star. Every single season, he's going to be in the NBA as long as he doesn't get hurt. Knock on wood. And he damn near might win the MVP this year. He definitely has my vote.
He's on the clip right now for that, and
Yes.
I would not put it past him. It's well
And
earned.
last but not least, he's born in Canada.
Yes.
Again, basketball is a global sport. We have a team in Toronto, in Canada. So it would only be right to have someone from Canada,
Right.
born outside of the US, as one of the faces of the league. Not only that, but he just so happens to be the best player on his team and one of the best players in the league. So I think Shai would be a great look for the NBA.
Aren't they talking about expanding a little bit more in the
Yeah,
NBA? Like
I heard Vancouver. I heard
Vancouver, like I heard like a Mexico
Vegas.
team, Vegas
Yeah.
team, like
Yeah.
a little
There's a lot
more
of room.
international.
Yeah.
I'd be
So,
into it.
yeah. And my fourth and final pick is another American-born superstar who is probably the most marketable guy on my list because of his personality.
Oh, I think I know.
Who? Take a guess.
Anthony Edwards.
Yes, sir.
Ah, I knew it. I knew
Anthony Edwards. And
it.
look, at least one face of the NBA was the number one pick.
Yes, that's true.
Anthony Edwards is the only player on my Mount Rushmore, because there's four guys of the faces of the NBA that was picked first overall. Number one, let's just get this out the way. Dude is a scoring machine.
Absolutely.
You want to get
Crazy
dunked
pace.
on? He got you. Step back threes? He got you.
Boom.
Clutch time buckets? He also got you.
Absolutely.
And same thing with Shai. He's young, so as long as he's in the league, he's going to continue to be an all-star. There's no way around it. He's already one of the best twos or wings in the league, and he's already putting up superstar type numbers. If he continues
Absolutely.
this, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and same with everybody else that I have on my list.
I would agree with all of that. Absolutely. Yes, for sure.
I already explained how he's marketable, but he's also very relatable to everyone who lives in the same parts or similar parts as I live.
Right.
Because he's going to speak his mind, he's going to talk his shit, he's always going to be himself. And every time you do an interview with him, he's never going to shortchange you on who he is. He's going to tell you exactly what's on his mind, whether you like it or not. And you know what? 90% of the shit that he says is fucking hilarious.
It really is. He's great personality. My God.
And it just kind of helps out that he kind of looks like Michael Jordan's long lost son.
Yeah,
Him
I
and Jimmy Butler are
mean, him
brothers.
and Butler are brothers. They beat me to it. Oh man, and how ironic that you pick Shea and you pick Ant, and they're both in the top two teams in the West right now, the Timberwolves and the Thunder. Look at that. Success is coming. Are you kidding me? In a crazy division like the West, those two teams. I know Timberwolves are good and everything, but being first place, didn't see it
No,
coming. Didn't see it
no,
coming. And Ant is a big reason for that.
Ant is probably 80% of the reason why they're the top team in the West right now.
Playing out
I
of his
just wanted to
mind.
say, I did not see this coming from them because I don't like the pairing of Gobert and Cat.
We've been talking shit about Gobert the whole time. So seeing that kind of flip itself and make it into a successful run has been kind of nuts.
But I honestly think that's going to bite them in the ass in the playoffs, but we'll talk about that later.
That's a whole thing. And I would definitely agree with that too, because I'm still not sold. However, yeah, it's a great start for them. 41 and 17 for both the T-Wolves and the Thunder. So shit, playoffs are going to be very spicy when we get there. But we got a long way to go, people, when it comes to that. And things in the West, as we know, shake up very easily. The East, that's a hilarious story right now, but you know. But you had Jason Tatum, and look at that. Celtics are number one in the East by far. They're
And yeah,
nine games up.
it's Celtics and then the field.
The field. Right.
And, hey,
And that
wait.
includes the Bucks.
Guess who the Celtics added?
No.
J.
Jay.
I mean, an R and then a U and then an E.
Drew Holiday. Look at that. Oh, it's almost like defense is gonna be a big thing in the NBA. Who knew? What an interesting new concept. But
Crazy.
yeah, I just think it's hilarious that you have three of the top teams in the entire NBA. I mean, we won't talk about the Mavericks and everything, but still,
The
those
Mavericks are
three
trending
guys,
up
they're trending up. Yes, they
in
are.
a very tough Western Conference.
Oh yeah. And if you have Luka, I'm sorry, you're gonna have a shot. So
And you got
fans can
Kyrie
definitely
too.
play in. You can't forget about Kyrie. So I'm more of a Luka guy than a Kyrie guy, but I get it. Like, Kyrie still brings that shit, that extra element to them. I wasn't sure of the pairing of Luka and Kyrie at first,
We
but
both
hey,
weren't.
you know,
But
it's not bad.
like I told you earlier in the year, I said I think they figured it out.
They might have.
And
Like,
I was very high on the Mavericks coming into the season when we did our preview.
that's right.
And yeah, so far, like they've been proving me right.
There you go. So yeah, different conference. So I could see Mavs sneaking into a play-in, maybe, if not outright grabbing a spot. But again, long season. In the East, though, yeah, that's a giant fucking, just a
Rip.
cavern, total cavern, Grand Canyon between the Celtics and everybody else. So y'all got to step it up in the East, bro. On my side, I'm going to continue with the Luka thing because I have two. Now, I will say I knew who your other two were because those are my honorable mention. I have Ant and I have Shea. And it's only because, again, if I had to, I know we said in this realm, we can't just anoint anybody. I get all that. I'm more of a prediction here of like when we look back, what success will we see? How many titles will we see? So, yes, I have the thinker's choice and I have the people's choice. The thinker's choice for me is Luka Doncic. And I think that is for anybody who's not like me. Again, I'm an old head. I'll say it any fucking day of the week. If you're looking at stats, if you're looking at what this man said, basketball IQ, pure skill set, and you look at young fans joining the NBA, learning about these players, getting to know them. If you ask somebody about 10 years ago if European style basketball was going to take over like this, they'd probably laugh in your fucking face. But Luka and Jokic, of course, I think have brought this, I hate saying modernized European basketball because it's really not. If there's one thing he does more than anybody else, it's fundamentals. Luka is, he does all the little things right. And I love how you brought up his speed, that he doesn't have any speed. I almost think he uses a lack of speed as like an art form because he's really good at like small bursts when he needs to get past you. He's always thinking two steps ahead, but he'll slow up and he'll still catch you. So like I think he uses speed in such creative ways that I have never really seen from a player before. It's
No,
quite interesting.
and as players, like I know I didn't play on any like super high level, but as players, that's what we're taught. We're taught
Yes.
it's not about how fast you can run in any sport. It's about how fast you can go from 0 to 60.
Exactly.
And
He's got that gear.
even though his 60 is like 10.
Right. It's a fucking old ass Honda, yeah.
Like, if he's at zero, you're going to be at zero. And then when he's at, he just goes to 10 quicker than you can go to 10.
Exactly. And that, but that's the thing is basketball. I know we say football's a game of inches and yards and stuff. Basketball absolutely is some inches when it comes to the game. And that zero to 10, he's already at the basket. He's already cutting up for a layup. So, like,
yeah, he's literally like, I'm going to do this hang dribble. He tells you everything he's going to do. Yep. You do this hang dribble. And then once I take one step with my right foot, you're going to be bye-bye. And then he does the move. And then you still get beat.
I love that you brought that up, because if I could compare him, at least in my head, because I'm an old head, he's Larry Bird, who used to do that shit all the time. He would just tell you what he's going to do, and you just had nothing you could do about it. Luka plays like that. I know Luka's better.
No disrespect to Larry Bird. No, I ain't trying to disrespect Larry Bird.
Of course not.
Shout out all the OGs.
Yep.
But I just got to put this out there. Larry Bird wasn't playing with the level of defenders and athletes and talent that Luka playing against. So I just want to throw that out.
Yes, but I was in no means saying Larry was.
Yes.
No. This is just stylistically, I'm saying I see a lot of Larry. However, Luka has taken whatever Larry did, and it's tenfold. It's tenfold.
Yeah.
Luka's so much better.
I'm just a fucking – I'm one of those new cats that, like, low-key hate on the older generation.
Because, I know you are.
You know, that's a conversation for another day, though.
At least you try to disguise it respectably, but I know inside you're like, man, fuck all these old heads, dude. No. And I get it. The game has changed so much. All I do – for someone like me who's not a stat god like you and, like, the X's and O's guy – again, I've always been more of an emotional person. So for me to get invested in these players, I have to connect them to the past. That's the only way I can get to know and see, like, what I'm gonna getting out of their game.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, Luka is new age Larry Bird in the best possible way. That's all I mean. That dude, like he said, 34 points average, 9.5 assists, 8 rebounds a game. That's already ridiculous. Four-time All-NBA first team in a row, most likely getting a fifth one too. So, like, he's already one of the best players in the league. He's only 25, which is bonkers. Yep. Bonkers.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, he hasn't even gotten to his prime yet.
No.
This is still early Luka.
Yeah.
Man, he's got to get a couple rings, but I get
Remember,
it.
Remember, Jordan ain't win his first ring until he was 27, I think.
Exactly. Something like that, 26, 27. But,
yes.
So, Luka is – I'm not worried about him at all. The Mavs in general are what they are. Do I think he can win a ring with Dallas? Remains to be seen. I'm not sure.
I think yes.
That.
Not obviously not now, but I think not in the future, definitely.
There you go. That's what I'm like. I think with some more, and that's what again we're looking at is if I look back 20 years from now and go, oh, Luka really took off. Luka is somebody I can see multiple championships, like changing, like you said, the culture. I like that he's changed the culture to a more not more traditional, but like he's bringing back fundamentals in a really cool, modern way. Highly skilled. And let's not forget, his footwork is elite, in my opinion.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of people can do it better than him when it comes to footwork, pure footwork. Yeah. I mean,
that's why his slow ass step backs always get big separation.
Big separation. He's like, he moves in slow motion, but like how Neo moves in slow motion in The Matrix. Like,
exactly.
It makes your brain overthink. It's kind of
he sees
nuts.
The bullet, and he's just like, he doesn't move until it gets to right here.
Exactly. And it's already too late. Oh, my God. Yes, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, the angles this man can take are so creative.
Mm-hmm.
He commands the court. He's always thinking two steps ahead. And like you said, I wouldn't say he's not athletic at all. He's athletic. He's just in his own weird athletic way. It's very different. But he's very technical, too. And he doesn't lose speed in his moves unless it's by design. So I just think, again, a lot of the little things, you're seeing a chess master play this. You're seeing somebody with a really high IQ and a skill set that really screams longevity to me. Because he doesn't he doesn't risk a lot. He's just very calculated. So I can see him, if you're looking at the face, having, if anybody, that 10, 15, 20-year career and having a lot of success from it just because of the way he plays the game, it works for him. It's a little bit safer, but it's so effective. So Luka is somebody I think who has positively impacted the way young people are going to see the game of basketball. It's not going to be just all the step three shooter, you know, 3 points anymore. Now it's, you're getting some real basics back that are going to make games a little more all round. And that's a great thing. I think Jokic is the same thing. And I would have Jokic here, but honest to God, Jokic and the way he takes his business like this, this man may not even make 10 years. He might win three championships and fucking go back to his couch. He doesn't care. He doesn't
Yeah,
want that crowd.
he doesn't care enough. That
No.
that's
Like,
no
he's
knock on
so,
him.
not at all. He knows what
Yeah.
he's about.
Yeah.
That man won a championship and was like, hey, you going to the parade? He goes, that's a
No,
fucking
fuck that.
parade.
I'm trying
He
to go
said, I gotta
home.
go home.
Trying to go see my horses.
That's what made me love him. I was like, that is me. Like, I'm not doing anything extra. I'm going to my couch.
Yeah.
My TV is waiting for me.
Oh
So
yeah. Oh yeah.
that's Jokic. He's just like, my job is done. I get to go
Fuck.
home now. They told me I
Yeah.
get to go home for the summer.
The fuck parade? The fuck?
Right, what the fuck? Jokic is the guy who like clocks out at 5 p.m. on the dot, not a
But
minute
it's
too.
the best employee.
Exactly. He's number one employee, but he leaves at 5 p.m. on the fucking dot. Hey, can you do this? Nope. He's right out the door. He's gone. So that's why I can't put him as the face, is because as skilled as he is, if he ended up having like an 8-year career and two championships and fucked off, I wouldn't be the bit surprised. Bye. So I said that was a thinker's choice, the people's choice. Now, this one might get me some controversy. We'll see. And I am going to stand by it, even though the sample size is very small.
I think I know where you're going.
Who am I talking about?
Victor Wembanyama.
It's Wembanyama, absolutely. I
Yeah.
it's hard to argue. And I am not someone who likes to get into hype. And we had almost a whole episode about Wemby a
Yeah.
while back. And it's comparison to LeBron coming out of college and all that stuff. I mean, high school, whatever it was. But the point is, Wemby is an absolute freak. Just physically. The guy is what, 7'4"?
Yeah.
So if you look at him, the guy's an alien. He calls himself the alien. Fucking cool. His NBA debut was the second most watched season opener of all time already. He is already fourth in overall jersey sales. He's already second in total social media views. The Spurs viewership has gone up over 50% since Wemby has joined the team. He's only been here for how long now? What game are we on?
Like we're in the 50s or something like
50s,
that. Yeah.
early 60s. Okay,
Yeah.
cool. He's been here less than a cup of coffee, but he's already ascending. Every star is talking about him. LeBron is just glowing with praise for this kid. And let's not sugarcoat this. The cat can ball,
Yeah.
point blank. I know he's only averaging like 20 points a game, but if you
No,
look at what,
still.
yeah, he's what, a power forward, I think. So like
Center, whatever. Yeah.
center, whatever he wants to play at that point. For 20 points, I'll take that shit because he does everything really good. Amazing shot blocker. He's just a really good shooter who could still have the ability to become a great 3-point shooter. I think with the way his gigantic arm span, 7'8", I believe is his arm, his wingspan. So
Yeah.
the way he shoots, the way his technique goes, he could develop into a great 3-point right
Yeah,
down the line.
he's very graceful with his movements.
Graceful. I like
He
that.
dribbles. Man, he's smooth with his handle, like very
Yes.
smooth, almost like if Paul George were to grow to 7'4", that's how Wemby is with his handle.
No, you love Paul George.
No, Paul George, like talent-wise, skill-wise, he's one of my favorite players to ever watch.
Absolutely.
But I digress.
But that's a
Yeah,
really
when
good point, though. That's like, again, we talk about connecting them to, and I know Paul George isn't a past player, but Paul George in his prime, like, yeah, you do make that connection a little bit when it comes to the skill set. But yeah, with that kind of ring span, I think he has a great game IQ overall. He has a
Yeah.
winning personality. Dude's funny as fuck. So, like,
Yeah.
I think when you're talking about a new generation of children and young adults growing up into the sport and watching these new players, I think you look at someone like Wemby the same you can look at someone like Shaq. And I don't mean skill set. I just mean Shaq was a larger than life, still is a larger than life personality, wildly successful Hall of Fame career. Wemby has all of the tools to be part of multiple championship rosters. Again, I don't know if that's with the Spurs. I can't say. I don't watch the Spurs that much. I watch Wemby clips, but the Spurs overall, they're in last place. So,
Yeah. That's why they
time
were the
will
first pick.
tell. Exactly. Time will tell if the Spurs can put a roster around Wemby together that's going to actually, make some noise in the playoffs. Until then, he's going to be just kind of the standout, the freak in San Antonio that everyone wants to come and see. But I think with a hopefully long career, because I even said when he first came out, I was concerned about health. But honestly, the more I thought about health, the more I think that's just me being an old head again. I can't put that 7 foot curse on Wemby just because I saw Yao Ming play. So like,
No, I get it.
I really have to stop doing that and let Wemby might have a 15-year career for all I know and stay healthy the entire time. And I hope so. I
He
really
could,
do.
yeah, he could.
He
I hope he
absolutely could.
does.
Yes. The fact that he's that big and he's like 200 pounds makes me go like, oh, you need some more muscle, bro, or whatever. But honestly, he may not.
I remember we talked about this. I
We
actually
did.
said I'm concerned about his health, but I think his weight is going to help him.
Yeah. See?
Less
So,
stress on the joints, things of that
right.
nature.
Yeah.
He's
So he
also
might be
extremely
that.
flexible,
Yes.
so that's going to help him too. But at the same time, I'm still concerned about his health because he's that tall.
Yeah.
I know he moves very gracefully, but it's easy to have an accident when you're that tall.
Exactly. There's more surface area to break when you got all
Right.
them damn long ass bones, bro. So that's just science talking. I don't necessarily think I should use that as a deterrent for thinking that he is going to be everything that he has said he's going to be, everything that the media has hyped him to be. There's no reason to think that he won't be that guy. So I say the people's choice because I feel that is somebody kids are gonna like. My son will watch a game and go, holy shit. I mean, he'll probably say holy shit too. So, you see a 7'4" dude playing basketball at a high pace who's that skilled, who does all those great things. I don't see how you don't make him the face of the NBA. Again, if you had to anoint somebody, but skill wise, I'm more of a Luka guy than a Wemby guy. But I will say, long story short, I am starting to believe the hype a little bit, just in the small sample I've gotten. I think he still has plenty he can work on, like anybody else. But Wemby is gonna make the NBA a lot of money. That's plain and simple.
And again, he's French from France, so
He's from France, exactly. So yes, let's make it more like Noah Lyles wants to argue. Let's make it more international. NBA is becoming more of a worldwide global sport. I think eventually we'll get there where you really can't make that world champion argument anymore that I won't bring up, but we talked about that in another episode. But yes, I like these international players coming out of nowhere and just like wrecking the league already. It's been really cool to see.
The only reason, okay, so Wemby I did think about,
I get
but I
that.
held out a little bit on putting Wemby on my list because he hasn't done as much as the other guys, and that's only because
No.
this is his rookie year. That's the only
Exactly.
reason why. I feel like the other guys on my list are more established and
Yeah.
more ready to take that mantle from LeBron, from KD, from Steph when the time comes.
Oh yeah. And if we don't narrow it down to one person, I absolutely agree with your list. Like all those guys are amazing.
Okay. If we're gonna narrow it down to one person
Ooh,
and
just
one
one.
person only to
If
be
you
the
had
face of
to.
the NBA, this might not be the popular pick,
Ooh.
but I'm going Jason Tatum.
I really can't argue with that though. That's the thing. I can't argue against that because he's
It's
so fucking good.
not the sexy pick because he is really fucking good. That's
Right.
one reason why I'm picking him. Number two, he wants it.
Oh
He made
yeah,
it clear that
Kuzma.
he wants it.
Hungry.
And number three, dude looked up to Kobe. Like, you think he ain't got that in him?
Right.
Like, all that soft kid shit from St. Louis, like, you don't think he thinks about that? Like, I just think JT is the total package, on the court and off the court. One thing that I should mention, he's a great father. Deuce is always at the
Hey,
games, you know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying?
That's
And that's
right.
going to be great for the NBA and their image because, we're just coming off of LeBron James, who's a big family man himself.
That's right.
And that has to factor into who the NBA wants to anoint. I know we can't just anoint, like we mentioned, but who they would prefer, you know what I mean?
Of course.
I'll take it one step further. And on the flip side, Allen Iverson had a lot of off the court shit, right?
Oh, he's one of my favorites. But yes, he
Yeah,
had a lot of issues.
mine too.
I mean, my God. But yeah, he had a lot of issues.
But as great as he was, I don't think he was ever considered a face of the league.
No, not at all.
Because it was Shaq at that time. And then it was T-Mac, and then it was Kobe. You
Fucking
know what I
love
mean?
T-Mac. Yes.
Vince Carter, like
Yep.
Allen Iverson was always alienated because of his off the court shit. And I know Kobe has some off the court shit too.
Sure.
But with Iverson, it was incident after incident with coaches,
I
talking about practice and
know.
all this other shit. So like the
Right?
NBA had all these other narratives around Allen Iverson, and that's exactly my point about Jason Tatum. Like he's clean.
Absolutely. I get that. And oh God, you all the memories kept flooding back when you talk about Allen Iverson us. If I was over here just like daydreaming,
Yo,
like, oh my God. Like the Iverson braids, dude. You talk about
that's
impacting the culture?
yes. That's why I wanted braids. I
God.
saw Allen Iverson hooping with braids. I seen him with the headband, the arm
The
sleeve.
fucking arm sleeve, dude. That set off. Oh my God. Who doesn't wear an arm sleeve now? And you can't say that Allen Iverson was not a big part of that. Like,
No, he made
dude,
it a trend for real.
he made it a total trend that will last, I think, forever. So
Yeah.
yeah, I've always, again, I think he's the people's choice, but you
Yep.
know, that's one of those things where you have to look back and go, yeah, he was kind of in a sea of other mega stars, and there's always that guy. I felt the same way about Carmelo Anthony, where I was just like, man, he was so good, but he was, I don't want to say stuck in Denver, but he was just stuck in Denver for so long that it's like, is he ever gonna get there? And that was just that other pick where you go, he's so skilled, he does everything right, and then it just could never get to that next level. And I just wanted it for him so bad. But those two guys were just like, I love those underrated ass players,
Yo,
even though they're barely underrated.
we can have a whole segment on Carmelo sometime because why the Pistons didn't.
No, I know it's a sore spot for you.
I can't even finish the sentence.
I know why you want to relive that.
Because we would have had, I don't know, three championships with that group. He would have
I
had some
mean, no
older
brainer.
dudes to show him the way and show him the
Yep.
ropes of the NBA, how to be a pro.
Oh, 100%, man. That's got to be painful. That's got to be painful because
Oh no,
Carmelo is
I
the
just
man.
want to drink a whole bottle of gin. That's it.
Oh, God. Fucking
Yeah.
gin. Gin is the absolute worst.
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. That's he's like me. Oh, speaking of everything is okay, that was a great transition to the other topic of the night. That's my Chicago Bears.
Where everything is not okay.
Nothing is okay. Nothing is okay. But I want to get into this because we talked about it before. We mentioned it. I have been parading in the streets about it. But this is a different year than last year. Last year, in case you're living under a rock, the Chicago Bears had won the number one draft pick, won it. They earned it last year. And we ended up trading that for a haul, including DJ Moore to the Panthers. And it was a great day. I was over the moon about having the number one pick because it fell into our fucking laps. Lovie Smith is my guy for life. It was lovely. We were celebrating. The Bears have the number one pick again because that pick for the Panthers, and they were so bad this past season that, hey, we got the number one pick and we still had a 7-win season. Hey, improvement. That was the best case scenario. So, how do I feel this year? Not great, folks. Not great. And it has been a highly, hotly debated topic, especially in the Bears community where I reside every day. I like seeing the comments from people and the discourse and the debates, but it's getting a little exhausting, folks, because all it is what do the Bears do with the number one draft pick? Do we take Caleb Williams and get rid of Justin Fields, or do we get rid of Justin Fields? I mean, or do we keep Justin Fields and we trade the number one pick? Somehow getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Do we keep number one and still get Marvin Harrison Jr.? What do we do? There's so many options. Washington and New England are right behind us at number two and three. Both those teams desperately want a quarterback to save their next season. And they would love someone like a Caleb Williams or even like a Drake May. Jaden Daniels is out there. You know, there's plenty of quarterbacks that could be pretty fucking good. The only one that people are calling generational is Caleb Williams. And with all the talk of Caleb and what he might bring to the table, Bears fans are pretty much split down the middle on what the best course of action is. And I get both sides, honestly. With Fields, have we seen the best of Fields? Have we seen his ceiling? How fair was it for him to come to the Bears and pretty much have a peewee football team to play with for a long part of his career already? Coaching was ridiculous. So, what do you do? And I want to start with you before I get into my shit. But
Okay.
if you were the Bears GM, Rizzy, what do you call yourself? Rizzy Smalls? No.
Rizzy
Rizzy
schemes.
Schemes. Rizzy Schemes. Yes.
Yes,
Rizzy
sir.
Schemes is back as the GM of the Bears
Ooh.
with this number one pick.
Yes.
What do you do with the Chicago Bears?
All right, all right, all right. Rizzy schemes in the building.
All
So if I'm the
right.
Chicago Bears, I have a
Ooh.
franchise quarterback on my roster already by the name of Justin fucking Fields. So with this first
Franchise.
overall pick, you know who I'm gonna call? Because I'm so confident that I got my
What?
guy. I'll give you a hint. They're in the division.
Really now?
I'm
If you
calling
say the
them.
Lions, I swear to God.
No. I'm actually kind of logical about this one.
I
I'm
think I
calling the
know.
Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
And I'm saying, look, Kirk Cousins' contract is up. Justin Jefferson's going to look for a bag. How about you give us Justin Jefferson? We'll give you the number one overall pick. I'm going to start there. Because you're going to miss out on Marvin Harrison. You're going to miss out on, not really miss out, but you're going to miss Rome Odunze too.
That's right. That's right.
If you trade that number one pick, because the next pick the Bears have is number nine. And I would tell you what
Correct.
I'm doing with number nine. So I don't know. I think more than likely the Vikings would jump on it and say, you know what? We don't have to pay Kirk. We can get Caleb Williams, the quarterback of our future in this draft. And then we don't have to pay fucking Justin Jefferson either. We can let him go. We still have the 11th pick in the draft. We can
That's
take a
true.
receiver there. It's a deep receiving class. You know what I'm saying? There's a
Right.
lot of very good receivers in this class. So maybe they'll take it. Maybe the Bears have to add more. It doesn't fucking matter. I'm adding whatever the fuck I need to add to get me Justin Jefferson. Okay.
That's such a Madden trade, but I love it.
Like it's, I ran it through the trade machine and I
Of
ran through
course.
different scenarios. And
Yeah.
I mean, the salaries match up because,
What?
you know what I'm saying?
Whoo, DJ
Jefferson is
and
still on,
JJ, bro?
yes, JJ is still on that rookie deal.
I would come. I'm not even gonna lie. Like
No stim, no stim.
none. Like I would lose it.
And then, so now the Bears. Okay, so the trade I did was basically Justin Jefferson for a haul of picks.
Sure.
It was like the first overall pick this year, one of the second round picks next year, a fourth this year, and I think I threw in like a sixth. I think it
Okay.
was four
So
or
straight
five
picks.
picks. Yeah,
Straight
straight
picks.
picks. All picks that you guys have multiple picks in the same round in.
Right.
So say that goes through, you get Justin Jefferson, you pair him up with DJ Moore. So you don't have to pay Darnell Mooney. You're paying
Yeah, he's
Justin Jefferson instead. And you're
absolutely.
taking that
Yeah,
every single day of the
Moody's
week.
gone. Moody's gone for sure.
Yeah. And so with the number nine pick then, I'm gonna stay put. I think this guy's gonna fall. He's the best edge rusher in the draft. You pair him next to Montez Sweat, you got a monstrous defensive line. Dallas Turner
That's who I think it
from
is too.
Alabama. I think he might fall to number, I think it's nine. Yeah, number nine.
A lot of mocks have him coming to us.
And if he does, good God, Lord have mercy, that defensive line is going to wreak havoc on the NFC North.
Yes, sir.
The Montez Sweat played like, again, he led two teams in sacks.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. What a fucking player. I love
Yo.
that move.
And then, yeah, Dallas Turner, I mean, he's big dude too, just like
Oh,
Montez
yeah.
Sweat, fast, just like Montez Sweat. Came from Alabama, so you know he has that NFL pedigree in him. And I think that'd be a good look for the Bears.
Oh, yes. I like that. It'll never fucking happen, but I like it. I think Vikings fans would literally burn the stadium down if they got rid of Jefferson to the
No,
Bears.
I
To
don't
the
think so.
Bears, bro?
No. I know a lot of Minnesota Viking fans,
Me too.
and they're one of two ways. They're either you bring everybody back, Kirk, Justin Jefferson, whoever, bring them all back, run the shit back, or they're burn the shit down, start it
Turn it
over.
all down. Yeah, I get that. I
Because
don't blame them either way.
they're stuck in this like weird like 10-7 or
Yep.
7-10 type. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That wild card spot where they just can't
Yeah.
seem to move.
Because look, let's be real. They're not going to beat Detroit. They're not going to beat Green Bay.
Nope.
They
Nope.
might
Nope.
not even beat the Bears.
If Jefferson's on the Bears, they're not beating us either. I don't care if they have Caleb or not. Sorry. We're
Yeah,
taking you
it
out.
depends. Yeah. I mean, Justin Jefferson, there's only Justin Jefferson will win them a game
Totally.
against somebody in the division. Most of the time, it's probably going to be the Bears.
It's usually right.
Yeah, but so like at that point, you realize, okay, we're going to be at best the third best team in this division. There's nothing we can do about it because there is nothing they can do about it.
Nope.
Jordan Love is progressing. Like he looked very good at the last half of the season.
He did.
The Detroit Lions, they're only going to get better.
That's right.
And they're way younger than the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, man, if I'm the Vikings, I'm blowing this shit up. But again, who knows what's gonna happen? That's just what I would do.
That's what
I'm
you
hitting
would
up the
do.
Vikings.
Okay, I like it though. Again, I think that's a Madden ass trade, but I think a lot of Bears fans would be pissed off only because there's so many holes to fill in Chicago. That's like giving up a lot of picks right now is like touchy. But
Look.
if you're going for someone like Jefferson, I get it.
You
It's Jefferson,
look,
bro.
it doesn't matter because all those players you pick with those picks are not going to be better than Justin Jefferson.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
go ahead and use that to pick players that might not even play for you next season. Go ahead, Chicago Bear fans. Guess what? You're still going to lose. Would you
That's
rather lose
right.
with a bunch of them or lose with Justin Jefferson?
I'd rather have
I'd rather
Jefferson,
lose with
but
Justin Jefferson.
that's me. But I like winning.
I'd rather like have a chance at winning and look exciting because I have Justin Jefferson and DJ Moore.
Thank you. Yeah, exciting. I don't care if we were that successful right now. Can I get
Yeah.
exciting football?
Because when you watch the Bears, if it's not a screen, it's a run up the middle.
Right. Just like, oh my God. Like, I shouldn't be able to call the plays for the Bears. I'm not on the staff. Like, pause. But that is something where it's become so pedestrian in Chicago where we go, even the wins are just like sluggish wins. We're not just, there's a couple of times where we kick someone's ass. That was it. Other than that, we had to like dig for those wins, those 7 wins we had. So, yeah, I would love just some exciting fucking Chicago football. We had it a few years ago when we won a division. That was exciting Bears football. We were creative, they were fun. You had offensive linemen running in touchdowns. That was great stuff. We had that for 1 year of fun and adventure. And then the double doink happened, and all the fun was gone. Just like fucking that. Just all unraveled. So I don't blame you. A move for Jefferson, which I am starting to see more and more news about Jefferson and for him going from untouchable to maybe Minnesota might use him as a chip, which is
I mean, I'm telling you,
bonkers to me, but.
and it's only because they're stuck in this weird
They got to do
dilemma.
something. They have to do
Yeah.
something.
Either
Yeah.
you
Either.
go all in, bring everyone back,
And go
stick with
get
that
another
veteran
star.
team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or sell
That'd be kind of crazy. When it
it.
comes to my mindset, I have thought about this exhaustingly for forever now. For the longest time, I've been on paper saying, I want to keep Fields. I look at the entire thing. I've watched his entire career at the Bears and all the bullshit surrounding us and the fact that he came in with coaches that had no business doing anything with him. They don't know how to scheme for him. And I know we're sitting here making all these excuses for Fields, and I get that you can put a lot of the blame on him too. However, there are a lot of circumstances that he has had to deal with that makes me kind of still feel like he didn't have a fair shake here. Like, there was very limited amount. He had no protection his first couple years. Like, he barely had any receivers until we had DJ Moore. So our running game was the best thing we had going. Our defense, best thing we had going. But like Fields himself, he's had very special moments where he looks like just some kind of weird football fairy where he's just slipping through cracks and you can't touch him and you can't shake. He was crazy good.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, you have to keep him. You have Shane Waldron now coming as an offensive coordinator, who I think is an upgrade from Luke Getsy, someone a little more creative. Look what he did for Geno Smith. Like, Seattle was, if they weren't overly successful, I mean, they still were in the mix. He made them, and Pete Carroll was most of that too. But like, Waldron is the brains behind a lot of the offensive firepower too. Like, so bringing Waldron in and having some creativity coming to Chicago is exciting for me when you look at Fields. It's like, hey, somebody who wants a mobile quarterback and somebody who might design. He's been talking so much praise about, hey, I don't care if I have Fields or Caleb, I'm gonna draw him up some dope ass shit. I said, cool, let's do it, you know? DJ Moore has come out and said he wants Fields, but even he's like, it's a business, I get it. But he wants MHJ more than anything else. I wanted to keep Fields. I said trade number one down to like number two or three. Washington, New England, one of those two. And I know we're not getting a haul for moving one or two spots. I'm saying I don't need a haul. We got the haul last year. At some point, you have to just start taking elite players or elite prospects. We can't just keep trading down. A lot of people out there are saying, let's trade down to like 8 or 11. You know, like, yeah, but then you're out of the top 10 and we're just stockpiling again and not getting elite talent. That's how you fucking win. You need elite talent at some point. So if they want Caleb that bad, I was always saying, let's trade with them, get a couple of more picks, maybe another, an extra second or a first or whatever. That's fine. Then you get MHJ with number 9. I was saying Dallas Turner too, just like, hey, this is the best defensive end we can find, whoever it is on the board, to match up with Sweat, and let's wreck these quarterbacks. And Fields with someone like an MHJ DJ combination, it doesn't matter if he doesn't have the offensive line that he needs. If both those guys are down there, just fucking chuck it, bro. He'll get there. I've changed my mind on it. And it really sucks. And I had to really think of when I talked about this conversation with you, and I said, I had to really think and reflect. about what I really want for this fucking team going forward, I realized I'm being too emotional about it. When we drafted Fields, you recall, I sent you a video, and the video was me just screaming. I was so excited because Fields, I saw him in college, and I don't care what you say about Ohio State, and he had the great kind of team around him, whatever. The man flat out got it done. He didn't have to scramble all the time like he did in the NFL, but the man got the job done. He was
Oh,
kicking
wait.
ass.
You're telling me you don't have to run when you have receivers?
Oh, look at that. So, yes, with a real team around him, you saw what he could really do, which is why we picked him. So I was excited to get that Fields. Did I expect the way things went down, the way they did? Not necessarily. I thought we were about to fuck some teams up. In some rights, we got better. In other rights, we didn't, which it's fine. It's a rebuild. I get it. But this is emotional for me because I desperately put all my stock into Fields being the guy. And I'm not saying that he can't be. What I'm saying is, we're going into the last year of his contract. We have to think long term. If we lock him up and this is the ceiling we can see for him, where he's an immaculate scrambler, if not a great pocket passer. If he can't see the field, but he extends plays. If he can do really good things in a game and take care of the ball mostly, but we still lose. Is that good for the team? Is that good for the future? Unfortunately, his tenure in Chicago just isn't what I wanted it to be. If we have the opportunity, and let me put a disclaimer here. I am not saying Caleb's the guy either. I don't know. I'm not convinced that Caleb is the guy. I've seen enough. I've seen his Heisman year. I've seen him last year. Wildly different. Thanks, Lincoln Riley. But thanks, Cliff Kingsbury. Because that's all his fault too. So seeing what I saw from Caleb and USC, like, I don't know if he's even the guy. It's hard to say. So you have to take it down to potential versus what we've already seen from Fields. I still think if you trade Fields to a better organization, one that actually builds around him, Atlanta, which is always the one I keep pointing out, I think Fields is going to ball out. Unfortunately, I just don't think we have the time or the energy anymore to keep hoping that Fields is going to turn into the guy magically. And even if we get Harrison, what happens if we get Harrison and Fields is still just average? Statistically, I still love the guy. But what if he's still just average? What if even adding MHJ isn't enough? And you have to look at Caleb and go, there's people comparing him to Mahomes already, which I still don't know about all that. But if his ceiling is potentially Mahomes and Fields isn't, and we saw like the Super Bowl, you saw Mahomes win his third ring, you saw the Niners and Brock Purdy, who this man thinks is overrated as fuck, which is hilarious, but you saw what happened. Mahomes is a much better quarterback. Brock Purdy has a Maserati around him. We've said that. And they still couldn't get the job done. The quarterback, unfortunately, is still just that important to a fucking successful franchise. And if we really want to compete, if we really want to say we did everything we could, I'm trading Fields. I'm wishing him well. I'm looking at his stats and going, unfortunately, kid, it's just not good enough. And it's not all on him. And that's what I think this is going to turn out to be, because now you're looking at Ryan Poles and shit he's saying that I've seen this story before. This is the stuff that you start saying before you trade your best player. Like he's saying things like, we want to do right by Justin. When I saw that, I was like, oh no, like that sounds like we want to find the right team to trade him for, that he's not destroying his career. We don't want to be Trubisky and ship him off to be a backup and be a clipboard holder and embarrass himself in other games. Like, we don't want to do that.
No, but Trubisky was a backup quarterback to begin with.
100%. This is not me comparing them. I'm just saying, do right by Fields by actually trying to find a partner where he can go thrive. So there's a lot of talking heads out there about what we should do. I think, and I read this somewhere and it's been stuck in my brain ever since. If all these teams are chomping at the bit to give us a king's ransom for the rights to get Caleb Williams, we should probably just take Caleb Williams. That's all it is to it. Like, at the end of the day, if his price is going to be that high, he's probably valuable enough where we should probably just take a swing on him. And it
So,
sucks to
wait, hold
say,
on,
but
hold on,
go
hold on,
ahead.
hold
Go
on.
ahead.
So, you're going to base this decision off of what everyone else thinks?
No, I'm just making
Because
that
that's
a
what it sounds
point.
like.
No. I'm just saying that's one point that I go, huh? Well, that's a good point. I got to take all sides of it. That's not the only thing I'm saying. God, no. This is more in my heart and soul and looking at the stats and everything, which I'm getting to. But one point I have seen that makes a lot of sense to me is, well, shit, we probably at some point should take a quarterback that everyone mostly thinks is going to be a big fucking deal. Because the Bears never do that. They've never done that. So if nothing has ever worked since the 85 season, that's all I'm getting at is that's one point where you can take into consideration and say, it's different than Bears football. It's different than Bears history where we just go for the good quarterback. It seems crazy that that's such a simple thing to consider, but is he Jamarcus Russell? Who knows? Is he Pat Mahomes? Who knows? We got to take something here. But I say that saying, if we went and got Caleb, I want Rome Odunze, 100%. I still think, or Malik Nabers, Odunze or Nabers, I would still be very happy to pair that with DJ.
They're not going to be there at 9.
No, and that's what I'm getting at. I think for us to make that happen, we have to trade number 9, or we got to trade Fields to, like, the Giants at number 6. Now, I say that because the Giants gave Daniel Jones a shit ton of money, and we've seen the results, and Daniel Jones has not been great, especially for the money they pay him. This is kind of giving the Giants a way out, and Giants are sitting at number 6.
Because they got all this money tied into Daniel Jones. Like, they got to pay him regardless.
They got to pay him, but that doesn't mean they got to play him. I'm just saying. I know that's what you normally do. If you pay someone this much money, you're going to play him. But how much do you want to keep losing either? Like, the Giants, that's New York. That's a market that's hungry, almost as hungry as Chicago is. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy trade. If we gave them, like, Fields and number 9 for number 6, maybe a couple more picks, and go get Odunze or Nabers, I understand it. I don't think it's going to happen. But again, if I'm the one in charge and all bets are off, if I have to get rid of Fields, I'd rather give him to the Giants than give him to Atlanta. Just because then at number 6.
I thought you said you want to wish him well. You know that the Giants have absolutely zero over there, right?
No. The Bears want to wish him well. At this point, I got to do what's best for the Bears. I love Fields.
No. You just said you would wish Fields well.
Oh, yeah. I hear you saying he's not going to a situation where he would thrive.
Why would you send him to one of the most inept teams in the league?
Because we get number 6. I have to do what's best for the Bears. I wish him well. And I think the Bears would want him to go to Atlanta because I think that's a better option. I'm saying if you put all that aside and you put me in charge, I'm wishing him well still, but I have to maximize that shit.
You're wishing
I got to
well
maximize it.
With a backhand is basically what you're doing.
Hey, business, bro. I'm sick of losing. I'm sick of losing.
You're
going to
lose with Caleb. I'm sorry. You're going to lose way more games with Caleb than you will with Justin next season.
That's next season. I'm not thinking much about first season with Caleb. That's the thing. But long term, you reset the clock. The market gets a little reset too. But
you think DJ Moore is going to be happy with another losing season?
No, that's the thing. Nothing we do.
You think
anyone's
going to
be happy about?
No. If you keep Fields, I think a lot of people would be happy. You know why?
The fans would be happy if we keep losing.
You won't though.
Easy for you to say.
Because you'll put a team around him. And improve
your
record from last year.
That's what I want.
So my question is, why are you going to blow up the team for Caleb Williams and still lose, but not want to build around Justin Fields to win?
I'll remind you that that's what I want to do. However, what I think they're going to do is move him. I don't necessarily consider you blowing up the team. I know everybody loves Fields. I know that. I love Fields. I want him to do well wherever he goes. I'd rather he do it with the Bears. But all of this in front of us is showing that it's just not going to happen. And yes, it's easy to say that, hey, let's say we keep Fields. Let's say we get Harrison. Even with that, what if we win 5 games next year? Then not only have we wasted another year, we've missed out. Let's say Caleb balls out wherever he gets picked. He balls out. Fields doesn't. He's always going to be compared to Caleb now all of a sudden because of what we could have done. All I'm saying is if you know Bears history, it's very much like Lions history. It blows up in our face when we try to do something that's not what most people think we should do. And most people think we should just take Caleb.
That's false. Because a lot of people did not want the Lions to take, I keep calling him Luke Campbell, but Jack Campbell.
Luke Campbell. Now you didn't want Jack Campbell.
No. Like, we got Fs, like, in the first round. We got Fs for Jameer Gibbs and Campbell. And they made the all-rookie team, and we made the playoffs, won the division, went to the NFC Championship game. You know what I mean? Nobody wanted the Lions to do that.
Sure. I think you're thinking too small scale. When I talk about that, I'm saying, like, the historically bad moves that we have made and that Lions have made. Like, you just mentioned, like, players that you should have had, that you didn't get, and then they it bit you in the ass historically.
Those are the old lines. Like, we're a totally different
You
team.
are absolutely new. I want the Bears to be a new Bears. I would love after watching. Why do you think I love the Lions so much in the last couple of years? I am trying to absorb some of that shit because yes, you're right. This is a new Lions. So do I see the Lions doing moves like that anymore? No. But seeing them for the last 30 years do that, it's the same thing the Bears did. Look at the Trubisky thing. We're always getting roasted for that shit. All the time, whether it's fair or not. But
No,
we
but
took
look,
Trubisky.
no. At the time, people were
Trubisky
fans of the
was rated
move.
higher. I know.
People were
You're
fans of
preaching
the
to the
move.
choir. You're preaching to the choir, dude. I know this shit. I don't think it's fair either. I'm just saying that's what the discourse has always been because we're the Bears and that's the shit we get all the time. So all I'm saying is we could break a cycle here and just go for the best quarterback we can find, like point blank. And then if that doesn't work,
Then
well,
what?
then fuck it, burn it all down. Sell the fucking team
Oh, now you want
and
to
go
burn
from
it
there.
down.
Oh, I always want to burn it down every year,
Maybe if you
but
built your team around your guy that you got right now, who's generational,
I would love
maybe you
it.
wouldn't have to burn it down, and maybe you wouldn't have to wait and see if something else works. You know,
True.
let me give you an analogy. You got a
Please do.
bad wife at home, you know what I'm saying? She cooks for you, cleans for you, but you know what? You guys get into a couple of arguments. Maybe, okay, not a couple. You guys get into consistent arguments, right? But she does everything
Consistent.
for you. She's there for you emotionally, supports you. She works her ass off for you, right?
True.
But you're unhappy because you guys have these consistent arguments.
Okay.
You're gonna divorce her and try to find something with somebody new, or are you gonna sit there and make it work?
You're missing one important detail about that analogy. This is a business. That is
So is
what I was
marriage.
thinking.
Nope, marriage is a business too.
It's a business in a certain way,
If no,
way
listen,
more
see.
emotional.
If marriage is also emotional.
As I said, yeah, emotional is marriage, yes.
But if marriage wasn't a business, why do we have to get a marriage license?
Oh, good point. That's a good point. Fair point. Okay, this is more of a business than a marriage is. I'll put it that way. More than. We want to be technical about it.
But what makes it more? Like, money's involved.
You really could. If you took the marriage and the NFL thing, you really could break that down to be very similar now that I think about
Like,
it.
you
That's
know what I mean?
funny.
Like, it's a business, right? You got to do what's best for you. So is getting a divorce going to be best for you?
Absolutely not. But that also insinuates that we're staying with Fields forever, which
Yeah.
I don't know as when
Yeah.
does that happen though? When does that happen, especially for the Bears, where we can just lock in and say, this is our guy for the next, like, until he is done. We've never had that. The close, and I was going to say Cutler, but no, he didn't even start with us. There's never been a quarterback that Chicago has taken and just run into the ground until he was retired, like with a successful career. It's never happened. So after all those years of never letting that happen, and we've seen in our own division, Hall of Fame quarterbacks come through here. Like, we have to do something. And I don't know if any quarterback class coming in anytime soon is going to be bigger than this one with us at the number one pick and controlling the entire draft. That's really what it comes down to. It's the opportunity. Yes, again, in my heart, I promise you, I want Fields. I want to keep him on this team. I want to build around him. I think 7 wins from a 3-win season, I think you saw the improvements you needed to see. Overall, it's not going to be all from him. But overall, I think we're getting somewhere. And I don't want to ruin that shit. But the opportunity is just so humongous right now to change the culture. I don't know if it's going to be all great either. I can't promise that. That's if we got rid of Fields, the team might fall apart. If we don't and they lose, it still might fall apart. There's not going to be one choice that makes anybody universally happy. There just isn't. It's just not going to happen. If we keep Fields and we start winning all these games, then it's all, you know. Great, but I've seen this movie, man. We've lost so much in such embarrassing ways. It wears you down. And I know I'm talking to a Lions fan when I say that. So you know misery. You know that.
Hey,
But how many times has this opportunity been in your hands, though?
at the same time, it's like Fields beat the Lions.
He did. But we
Like,
still watch you from home, bro. At the end of the
yeah,
day.
you realize you guys were what, 7-10?
7-10.
3 games away from being 500, essentially. You know how many games Justin Fields won you by himself?
Plenty, plenty.
Like, the reason you guys are losing is not because of Justin Fields.
No, absolutely not.
And
And again, I don't put blame on him.
like you mentioned earlier, you guys have a lot of holes around the team. Outside of DJ Moore, who else was he throwing to?
Nobody. We have
Cole
no
Kmet,
receivers.
yeah.
Kmet's got something. Got
But
something.
Darnell Mooney, Nowhere to be found.
Nope.
Equanimeous St. Brown. I know how much you love him.
Oh, God.
Defensively, who are your corners?
Well, we're about to re-sign Jalen Johnson. Thank you. But after that, we just let Eddie Jackson go. We just let, I
Who are
mean,
your safeties? Yes.
yeah, we gotta
Who plays
reload.
linebacker for you guys?
We got quite a few
Roquan
good ones.
Smith?
Roquan's great. No, I'm sorry. He's gone.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was
See,
good.
there are
See how
so many
naturally I
holes.
miss him.
There are
I
so
miss
many
him.
holes around the team, is what I'm saying. Like you
You have to
mentioned, I'm
build.
agreeing with that point that you made. And
Yeah.
I feel like if you fill those holes, maybe get someone that knows how to play linebacker, maybe get
Yes.
someone that knows how to play safety.
Yeah.
You already have a very good edge rusher. You could get another one in the draft.
That's, yeah, that'd be great.
That
Well,
will help with the, yeah, go ahead.
here's the idea I had. If we went with the Caleb situation again, just talking out of that end, if we can somehow pull a Dunze, I'm saying, like, I still call Minnesota up, but Danielle Hunter is a free agent. And I think him and Sweat together is going to wreck a lot of fucking teams. I still think you should go get someone like, we talk about receivers. We don't really have any. Mooney kind of burnt out. Go get me Gabe Davis. He's free. That dude's good for a big play every game. Not consistent,
Yeah,
but
not consistent, but
he's good enough to get you a nasty deep route.
Gabe
Or you can get
Davis,
someone like, like a Michael Pittman Jr., free agent. There's some
MPJ.
good, so there's some good solid receivers where if we don't get the be all end all like Harrison, I still think we could end up replenishing the receiver room in some capacity between free agency and draft here. So, and then go get like a, there's some a decent center out there. I think we could probably find like Cushenberry or something. But like you're adding through the free agency because we have a shit ton of money too. Let's spend some fucking money, is what I'm saying. It doesn't all have to be the draft, but
Yeah,
let's spend some
you're right.
fucking cash. I want to fucking empty
Yeah,
the bank account this year.
you're right.
That's
See,
my
like first step, you trade for Justin Jefferson and then you pay him, lock him up.
move. Woo! I mean, again, I didn't realize the Jefferson thing. That was a whole game changer for me. Like, oh shit. But it's possible. Again, and this is what I mean. Welcome to being a Bears fan. It's just like what's the right decision? Like, what the fuck do you do that doesn't piss everybody off? And it's damn near impossible. I know for us, it's you for you, it's simple to go keep Fields
I'm
and let's go.
standing
But it's
on
like
business, yes.
as you should, as you absolutely should. And again, I
Yeah.
don't want that sounding like I'm a Field because I love Fields. I love him. And I'm not convinced that Caleb's the guy, but I am more just what can we do to just change the way people look at the Bears? And damn, if I don't want to be that franchise that skips Caleb when we had him in our hands and he ends up being the next Mahomes, because that's the kind of luck we have is we would pass up on him and he's gonna go with two championships of his own. And we're gonna be like, what did we do? What did we do? Like,
You know, I know we didn't break down draft prospects yet, but I just want to throw this out there.
yes.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be good. I don't think he's going to live up to the hype.
I don't think he can. I don't think
I
anybody
think,
can.
you know who he reminds me of? And I think he's going to have a similar career, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that previously, saying like these quote unquote generational talents turn into good quarterbacks, if not overly elite. And Lawrence is getting better. The
Yeah.
Jacksonville Jaguars are getting better too, but.
And a lot of people are saying or comparing him to Mahomes, and I'm gonna say this, and it's probably gonna be very controversial because he's black.
Oh, yeah, I can see
Because they're
that.
both light skins, all
Light
right?
skin, mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they have, you know, amazing arms. But you know who
Right.
else was mobile and had an amazing arm? Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson. Let's not forget
Absolutely.
that. You watch
Absolutely.
Caleb Williams' film, you watch Trevor Lawrence's film. You can't tell me they're almost mirror images of each other. Only
Oh,
thing
yeah.
different is their skin color and their hair. That's it.
That's true. I can definitely see that. If he was darker, you'd probably say he's like Lamar Jackson. I go, that's because he's dark. Like,
Exactly. Yeah.
that's all it comes down
Yeah.
to. When you throw that generational tag everywhere, I think it's impossible to live up to. But I even broke down like comparing the two between Fields and Caleb. And if you look at just the metrics, size, Fields is an inch taller. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like it's an inch, but that's still an inch more you can see over the entire offensive line. Arm strength, pretty fucking even. Caleb might be
Yeah.
slightly better, but it's pretty much
But
50-50.
no, Fields has a cannon. Like,
Fields is a cannon.
let's
They
not
never
forget
let him
that
show it.
OSU, he was a pocket quarterback.
Absolutely. That's what people forget. They look at the NFL and go, oh, he's not a pocket quarterback. It's like, no, look at fucking college where he didn't have, there was barely any design runs when he was in Ohio State. If
Yeah.
he had to extend a play or scramble, that's one thing. But that dude was a pocket passer. And I know he's got a cannon, but they're pretty much neck and neck there. Accuracy,
I'll give it to
still
Caleb.
pretty fucking, yeah. Like, but even so, like, Fields' accuracy percentages are like in the high 60s. Caleb is probably low 70s, if not high 60s himself. So,
So
like,
it's rather close.
it's rather close. So, both guys are very similar in which they can scramble, they're dual threats and everything, but neither one are great in the pocket, at least at this point. You know, Fields, again, can be, but he's never been schemed to in the NFL. So if anything, he probably lost that shit. I mean, playmaking, both very similar. Both need to extend plays with their legs in college and the NFL. Caleb is very creative with his playmaking ability, and Fields is a magician when he scrambles. But they both have the same fucking flaw. They hold on to the ball too long. They both do. So there's one stat, just one, where I think they go Caleb over Fields, and it's the vision. It's the field of vision. That's the one biggest knock against Fields is he's missing people on routes. He's missing open receivers that are, I mean, honestly, as clear as day. For someone like us to say, like, how did you miss that wide open guy? Like, I'm more of a casual than he is, but like, shit, how do you miss those guys?
You know, I
Caleb
think,
doesn't have that problem.
and
Not
I'm not trying
really.
to make excuses for Fields. I'm really not.
Go
But this
ahead.
is something to keep in mind. If you play quarterback, and if I see you dropping shit in practice, what do you think I'm gonna think you would do in the game?
Boop, boop. That's a very good point too. But yes, I will say that when it comes to Caleb, he can see receivers. He knows progressions. He processes fast. It's the one strength he has over field.
I agree with that, though. I do agree with that.
It's a pretty fucking important stat though for a quarterback. You kind of have to have the field vision. I'm not saying Fields can't get there, but coming out of college, Caleb is already better than that.
All right,
So,
so my question to you is, you get
yes.
Caleb Williams, what are you going to do? What's your plan in place to make sure he develops to be who he's supposed to be?
When it comes down to it, attitude is one thing. Their leadership things have been calling the question for Caleb. I don't know all the merit to it. All I'm saying is I've seen a lot of that discourse saying, like, is he a leader? Does he even want to come to Chicago?
I don't mean to cut you off,
Go ahead.
but one of Justin Fields' biggest strengths that you didn't mention or compare was his leadership.
He's
No one
absolute
ever
leadership.
complained about his leadership, not a single player, not a single teammate that he's ever played with.
You're right. I did not mention that, and you're absolutely right. There, that is a huge thing that Fields is over Caleb. Much better leader, which is why I love the guy so much. Even when we're losing, Fields is the guy. He's gonna get you fired up. He's gonna get you on the way. Like he's gonna, you know, he's working his ass off. He wants to be a Bear. Caleb, for the longest time, even his camp had come out saying, like, I don't know if he wants to be a Bear or not. So, like, do I want someone who doesn't want to be here? And here's, I'll do one better. Caleb called it out today, actually. They interviewed him about his whole attitude towards Chicago and who's going to draft him. Now, he's backtracked a lot. He's saying, like, oh, they are a very exciting team. I would love to play for them. Things that we've been waiting to hear from him to say for weeks that he's just never said. But he said one thing that still makes me go, I don't like that. I'm gonna give you a direct quote on that one. Here we go. Williams said, I'm not pushing any agenda. At the end of the day, the Bears have the last say. Regardless of how I feel, I'm not pushing an agenda of, yeah, I want to go or no, I don't want to go. I'm excited for whatever comes. Regardless of how you feel. And I don't want to be a nitpicker and just, he might have just been talking out of context. But that phrase to me was like,
Now
that's media coaching.
that could mean a lot of things.
It could be a lot of things.
So
And I don't want
that
to
could
speculate
mean
too hard.
A, like maybe he has respect for Justin Fields,
Right.
doesn't want to be
Could be.
compared to him all the fucking time, because he knows if he goes there, that's who he's going to be compared with.
Absolutely. From day one.
And maybe he just wants his own team. Maybe he wants to go to Washington. Maybe he
Right.
wants to go to New
He's,
England,
isn't he
because
from Washington?
he might be.
I think he's from Washington. I think
Oh,
he wants
yeah?
to play for Washington. Yes.
Oh, shit.
Like,
See
which
that?
is why I was like, cough it up the price then.
No one is going to compete for that spot in Washington. Like, if he goes
No.
there, that is his team.
100%.
Same with New England.
Yep.
That's the
The
guy
whole.
after Brady, yeah, but that's going to be his. Mac Jones, fuck out of here.
Yeah, Mac Jones lowered the bar so fucking far, Caleb coming look like
Yeah,
a
exactly. Yeah. So
superstar.
maybe that could be it. I'm trying to give him the
Maybe.
benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
But no, that's definitely, if I'm a Bears fan and I hear that, I'm going, what the fuck?
It left a very sour taste in my mouth. And that was only hours ago that I read that. Like, okay. Do I want someone who doesn't want to play for the Bears to play for the Bears? Of course not. But that's all there is to it. So I know I'm all over the place with that. And it's just because that's how emotionally invested I am in this team. And I want them to succeed. And I am desperate for them to make the right fucking decision. And it's not for me to say what's right or wrong until we look back at it and say, that was fucking wrong. But if the idea is that we're not going to be in this position ever again. We have to get it right, regardless of which way we go with it. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I just don't know. I want to keep Fields, but I understand, and I'm like 90% convinced they're going to get rid of him. And this is going to be the Caleb show, and I'm going to root for the Bears regardless. I
Yeah,
get
you're gonna
it.
do it regardless. Yeah.
I'm going to do it regardless. I'll get bitch and moan when he sucks, and I'm going to take credit for it when he's good. That's what we do. But it's got to be the right call. We can't. This franchise cannot take another embarrassment in the draft. I can't deal with it, man.
The
It's been
most
too
important
harsh.
thing, the most important thing is how you're gonna develop, whether you stick with Fields or you go pull the trigger on Caleb. You have to have a plan in place to develop these guys. Because if you stick to the same plan you have Justin Fields on, where it's, look, just go win us a game. We have no stability around you. Just go win a game. Like it's going to be a revolving door. Quarterbacks ruining their careers in Chicago.
And it will completely erase any goodwill and prospects we have in the future coming to Chicago. Because right now, we are an interesting team to join. I'll take interesting.
Yeah,
It's
yeah,
not a,
yeah.
it used to be the quarterback graveyard. Now we're interesting. We're intriguing to join. So let's keep that momentum going. Not this guy went and killed a potential Super Bowl MVP career because he played with the Bears. I don't want that shit. So
Yeah.
it's a very tough decision. And I know you asked me what my plan would be to develop, and I'm gonna just rebuttal and say, I don't get paid to give up on a plan to develop Caleb Williams or Justin Fields. That's what Bears coach is supposed to do. So they better have a fucking plan to develop these guys. And I
You
like
see,
Waldron as a good first start.
you see how you're like, they should have a fucking plan. The coaches are looking at Justin Fields like, you should have a fucking plan to get better.
Right. Like the man can only do so much. And again, I didn't put all that blame. Yes, Fields has some blame. He's not
Yeah, of course.
blameless.
He
Of course
misses
he does.
reads. Sometimes he's inaccurate and sporadic with his throws. Yeah,
Right.
I
Because
get it.
of course.
But yo,
That.
what about when he gets sacked on second down and it's third and long, backed up in your own territory? Rush is coming at you. You break a sack, run up the field, reverse the field, get a first down, extend the drive. But no one wants to
Unbelievable.
talk about that.
I want to talk about this shit all day.
You know how I know about that exact sequence? Because it happened against the fucking Lions.
That's right. And you went, holy shit, this kid is amazing.
And
There's
I'm like,
plenty of moments where I
yeah.
went, holy shit, this kid's amazing. And there's other moments I go, oh God, what the fuck was that? But that's quarterbacking. I want to keep Fields. I just don't think
Like,
we're going to. And I'm starting to go through my like stages of grief already to just prepare myself that it's over. And that would suck. If we kept Fields, I'd be actually happier. But you know, I'm not on the staffs.
yeah.
Pause. But
So,
yes.
on a percentage scale, what would you give it? Like 70 30 Fields is gone,
I'm gonna say 80-20.
80 20 Fields is gone.
80-20. And again, because I'm looking at interviews, I'm looking at the things people are saying. I'm trying to read between the lines. And this is the same things when like we got rid of Khalil Mack, where you just start talking and talking, and it just
But
made
that everyone saw
that's
that.
different. Everyone saw it coming. It was different. But like in the past, I've seen them do these same press conferences that have led to us trading big players. And it goes, you know, this you have certain things and phrases you say in a certain way that you kind of go, yeah, this is them trying to get ready to smooth it over.
No,
We'll see.
I think it's 70-30 they get rid of Fields.
Yeah, it's up there. It's high.
In my opinion, it'd be a mistake. We'll see.
I tend to agree with you. I'm trying to make the most of what we could do if it's a Caleb thing, but we'll see. We have a lot we can do. And I said it last year, it's really fucking hard to mess this up. But they can mess this up way worse than they could have messed up last year's number one pick. That one
Hell
was a
yeah.
no-brainer. That one, I love what we got for that. This is franchise altering. So
See, like,
buckle up.
last year, you guys, what pick did you guys trade last year?
Number one.
Number one. And then you got number one this year.
So we traded for this year's number one and then a haul of picks with DJ Moore too. So, and then the Panthers ended up sucking. So yes, that worked out. Two back-to-back number one picks does not happen in the NFL, at least not in the last few years. I mean, the last few
Hey,
decades. So
shit.
we can't mess this up. That would be historically terrible for the franchise if we mess this up. No pressure, guys. Make sure you get it together. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Last words for your adoring fans, sir.
I just want to speak about a certain situation, all right?
Ooh.
Before I speak on it, I just want to say, if you don't go picking fights with someone that you know you probably won't beat.
Uh-oh.
What do I mean by that? So if I see someone that's 6'4", about 240 pounds, is solid muscle, I'm probably not going to go and try to start a fight with him. I'm not going to start a fight with anybody, if I'm being real. But
Probably not.
for the sake of the story, I'm saying that because Cam Newton got jumped. All right.
Is that what happened? I saw some shit.
He got jumped in quotations. All right.
Jumped.
Mind you, Cam Newton had on like a Abraham Lincoln type hat.
As he does.
Three kids jumped on him at his football camp, punching him, throwing whatever the fuck at him. The hat did not move, not a single time. And mind you,
Oh.
he was supposed to be the one getting jumped. All of a sudden, he's throwing kids off of him and like, yo, did y'all realize this man won the Heisman with not a single NFL offensive lineman on his college team? Or player. He's the only player on that team to get drafted.
Tell
Like, this man came in the league as a rookie and broke passing records
Absolutely true.
as a rookie. This guy won an MVP scoring like 14 rushing touchdowns. You can fact check me on that.
Yes.
You think you three little boys are going to take that man down? I think not. So please just be smart and don't pick any fights with anybody.
Oof. There are so many martial arts movies that say that exact same sentiment. Never start a fight you can't win. It's you should just never fucking do that. As a martial artist, I can tell you the same thing. Don't fucking do that. That's the first thing you learn in martial arts is you're not picking fights. You're supposed to be wearing defense, protecting
Yes.
yourself, not to
Yes.
go jump somebody. So
Yes.
that's just science, folks. That's he will swing you around his fucking head and fucking lawn dart your ass. Like, what?
And
What are
still
you
have
doing?
that Abraham Lincoln hat on.
Right, big
Feather
ass fucking hat.
untouched.
Oh my God. That's insane. I know I saw like something about Cam and something about arguments, and he called himself someone's daddy, and I was like, oh, okay. So it's another Wednesday. Come on. What the fuck? Oh man. My last words are the same as they usually are. Make sure you check out all of our fucking content. That's the Bank Bros Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. And we are at Bank Bros Show on Instagram. Like I did promise, I posted the video from Cancun. I want you to hit the poll. I said it, and I'm going to just stick by it with no pause. Hit that poll and say if I got teabagged or slightly grazed, which every time I look at the video now, it's totally a graze. But now you got me second thinking everything. And maybe I don't know exactly what teabagging is because I thought I did, but now I'm like, not convinced. I still
I
think
think
it's a
right
graze
now
though.
it's 100% for teabagged.
God damn it. Did you
Damn
just
it.
vote? Oh,
I think it's me and Hakeem.
that's going great. My brother. Yeah. So I'm going to lose this fucking vote anyway. But go ahead and make sure you check out the video and much more content to come. No pun intended. Just saying. See,
Whoa.
I can't say anything about that video without innuendo, so I'm completely stuck. So make sure you go check it out because I got some fun filters on there too. You know,
Hey.
much more to come. Hey, but until next time, folks, you know what it is. Bank Bros are in your city. We are always here for you, and you can motherfucking bank on it. See you next week.
1, 2. Ah!